welcome to another episode of my podcast. Today I want to talk about Maslow before Bloom. It's something that I always say when we're working with kind of a challenging student or a student who is struggling. And you may ask yourself, what does it mean? What does Maslow before Bloom mean? So I'm going to kind of dive into that a little bit and hopefully explain what it means and give you listeners kind of a better understanding of why I use it. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs was proposed by a psychologist, Abraham Maslow, and he outlined a theory of human motivation and fulfillment, right? So what really motivates us. And he suggested that we have different levels of needs and they're arranged in kind of a hierarchy. So at the base of this hierarchy or this triangle, right, if you're visualizing the hierarchy of needs, are the physiological needs like food and shelter, right? And then above that are our safety needs, and then our social needs, are following that. And then above that are our esteem needs, and then finally our self-actualization needs, right? Those are the fulfillment of our potential. So Maslow's theory focuses on the progression from our basic survival needs to the higher level of that fulfillment, okay? So then Bloom's taxonomy was developed by an educational psychologist, Benjamin Bloom, and he categorizes educational objectives into cognitive domains, and they start with lower order thinking skills like remembering and understanding, processing to higher order skills like applying, analyzing, evaluating, and creating. So with Bloom's taxonomy, it's more focused on cognitive processes and learning outcomes rather than what's motivating, like Maslow's hierarchy, right? So it's just kind of like you go in and you do work, not what motivates you to do the work. So when you look at Maslow before Bloom, it's referring to the idea that in order for students to be motivated to learn or do the work, their basic needs should be met first. But why, right? So let's think of our physiological needs. Well, these are the basic requirements for human survival: air, water, food, and shelter. So without satisfying these needs, we can't move up in the hierarchy to address higher level needs. I mean, frankly, we can't do anything, right? We're not going to live. So we can't even move on. We can't even move on from there. So what's going to motivate us to do anything else? I mean, when we're hungry, when we're tired, we're not motivated to do squat. And then our safety needs. So once our physiological needs are met, we seek security and stability in our lives. So this includes personal safety. You know, think big picture, like financial security, health, and well-being. But if we think just in a school, in an academic setting, our safety needs are trusting relationships in the classroom. Then our social esteem and self-actualization needs. When those are met, right? Let's think about how we are social beings and we crave belongingness and connection. So this level involves forming relationships and friendships and feeling accepted by others. So when we think of this in a school setting, this involves the excitement and the drive and the want to be at school. So if those needs are met, those basic needs or those barriers are addressed and a relationship is built, right? Maslow, those needs, Maslow before Bloom, now the student is going to be ready to learn. So why do we want to try to always anchor back to this idea of fostering students' basic needs before pushing academics, Maslow before Bloom, on them? Because the goal is student success. When we meet those basic needs, the student is ready to learn. The goal is student success. Period. So think about it for a second. Maslow's hierarchy focuses on human motivation and fulfillment, and Bloom's taxonomy addresses cognitive processes and educational objectives. Both frameworks illustrate hierarchical structures with individuals processing through levels to achieve higher states of being or thinking. Higher states of being equates to success. That's your goal, right? So as educators, or, you know, just educators, meaning just to support staff as a whole, anyone in education, incorporating Maslow's hierarchy of needs and Bloom's taxonomy into teaching practices, it truly can be beneficial for several reasons, right? Just understanding student needs and helping to recognize that students will struggle to engage in learning if their basic needs aren't met, if they're tired, if they're hungry, if they're worried about where they're going to be sleeping that night, if they're just worried about their home lives, if they're focused on everything that's going on at home, they're not able to focus on what's sitting right there in front of them, they're not ready to learn, they're not going to be successful. Their behaviors are going to, be escalated. They're going to be in a heightened state, unable to focus, and that's going to come out in behaviors. There's going to be a function to their behaviors, right? I mean, it kind of all makes sense. This is almost similar to having a trauma-informed, understanding. So by understanding where students are in this hierarchy, we can provide appropriate support and create a conducive learning environment. So if we're incorporating these ideas into education, we're able to create a more holistic approach to teaching and learning, and we're considering both the psychological and cognitive aspects of student development, right? And then we can lead a much more effective instruction that can lead to improved student outcomes, positive learning, improved behaviors, improved relationships with students and families, and just a positive learning experience and school experience for everyone, right? So, I don't know, that's kind of my thought on integrating Maslow's hierarchy of needs and Bloom's taxonomy into schools, really various roles, whether it's educators, social workers, or parents, because it does offer valuable insight and understanding into human development, motivation, and fulfillment. And when you really think about it, it helps to recognize and address individual needs while fostering cognitive growth and higher order thinking, so that we can create environments that support holistic development, empower individuals, and facilitate positive outcomes in education. I think these frameworks are pretty cool tools, but, again, what do I know? I'm just a social worker. So, adios from the trenches. Until next time.